that song where it says we know we have a Savior in Jesus who
can be our comforter, our great high priest, our sympathetic high priest, Lord, because you walked the suffering road of humans in the flesh. And Lord, because of that, not only are you a great high priest who sympathizes with us in our weakness, Lord, but we can look to you as the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Lord, we thank you for being that kind of priest and perfecter of our faith, Lord. We can look to you in everything as our pioneer. Lord, we want to lift up those churches in our area, Lord, who are doing the work of the gospel, Lord, are preaching the gospel, are declaring it and demonstrating it in their community, Lord, who are caring for those that are in their congregation well as good shepherds. Lord, we want to pray that you would come alongside of them, strengthen them, give them an extra helping of your grace. Lord, be with the pastors and staff and deacons or elders. Lord, be with those in the congregation that they could be fully on the mission that you have given their churches. Lord, we want to lift up one particular church, Calvary Fellowship in Doylestown, Lord, whom during the snowstorm had a roof collapse, Lord, in their auditorium. Lord, I thank you that no one was injured, no one was there. But Lord, be with that church. It's a church of great significance in the Doylestown area. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with their staff and their congregation through this difficulty, Lord, that they would rally around and be united and not thwarted or discouraged by this challenge that's in front of them. And Lord, lastly, I want to pray for the churches that are in our area who are preaching a false gospel, Lord, who are preaching a social gospel or a health and wealth and prosperity gospel or Lord, a liberal gospel, the one that would be based on works or some other heresy that doesn't come from your word. Lord, I want to pray that you would awaken these churches, Lord. Bring them back to the truth of your word. Lord, bring them back to the simple truth of the gospel, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, plus nothing. And Lord, if they do not come back to the truth, Lord, we pray that you would close down the doors of their ministry, that the people in their flocks would go to healthy churches, places where they can hear the gospel. So Lord, do not give the enemy a foothold, Lord, we pray. And Lord, as we open your word, as we talk about being an impact in our community, we pray that you would be with this church, Lord, that you and your Holy Spirit would empower us to do the work that you called us to do here in Wilmington and around the world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to see all of you here. We are in a three-part series that we meant to finish up last week, but we instead are going to finish this series today. This three-part series is called Brandywine Valley Vision 2016, and it's really all about who are we as a church, what is the mission that God has given us, where are we going, how do we plan on getting there? And so I want to do a little review since we're a week removed. And we have been anchoring our three-week series on the vision of this church in the vision, the mission that God has given all of his disciples in the New Testament and carries forward to us. And we get that vision and mission in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, what we call the Great Commission. Let me read that again for us. It says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And so here in the same mission that Jesus gave his disciples, we at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church in the year 2016, we have the mission of the church to introduce people to Christ and help them follow him, to make disciples of everywhere that we go. And that is exactly the mission that God has given us. And so my job as the pastor, the job of our staff and our deacon board, our leaders, is really to make sure that we are focused on this mission and helping us accomplish the things that God has given us to do. We have a pathway that we've been talking about here that we call know, grow, and go, that we want to help people know Jesus Christ, have a personal relationship with him. And we've been saying that our goal as a church is to really be a lighthouse in the Brandywine Valley so that people can hear the gospel, see it demonstrated, and get to know and have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Secondly, to grow in him, that when we are doing the work of a lighthouse, that we'd also be doing the work of a greenhouse, deepening people's faith, helping them develop roots in their faith, loving one another, caring for one another as a church, so we could anchor our faith and have an unshakable faith in Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, what we're going to spend our time talking about here this morning is that we would go with him. As the Great Commission says, that while we are going, that we'd be making disciples everywhere, all nations, and here in the Brandywine Valley. And it's our goal here that our church would be not only a lighthouse and a greenhouse, but a powerhouse, one that sends a rippling effect out into our community, one where we are helping to make waves, if you would, in the community and around the world. And so we're going to talk today about a few keys to becoming that kind of powerhouse that we believe God has called this church to be here in the Brandywine Valley. And so in this message, I really want you to hear my heart behind this message. I want you to hear what I believe God is calling us to over the years. We're going to talk about some specifics, some ways that we're going to apply that, but don't get too caught up in those specifics. I really want you to see the trajectory that we want to head as a church, and that would inspire you, that would encourage you to say, yes, I want to be a part of a church that is heading in this kind of trajectory. And so let's talk about that. What are some of the keys to becoming a powerhouse in the Brandywine Valley and an extension throughout the world? First one is we need to be an equipping church. We need to be an equipping church. You know, when we bought our first house back in Northern Virginia, my wife and I, it was a bit of a fixer-upper, right? Trying to save some money. And so we bought this little fixer-upper in Northern Virginia. And there are a number of little projects that we had to do around this house to really get it to a livable condition. Now, I come from a long line of keelers who are not particularly handy, but we are resourceful and cheap, okay? And so that's kind of a lethal combination when you put those two things together. And so I was looking around the house and surveying, okay, what do we need to hire an expert for, and what can I maybe do on my own? What can I figure out and do on my own? So one of those early projects that I decided to take on was installing a new sink and a new dishwasher. I figured, how hard can that be? I mean, it's just a few hoses here and there. You turn this, you turn off that, you put this back in, and it should be fine. And so I took it on, and my dad was over. And my dad, like I said, not a handyman, but he's wiser than I because he's owned houses longer than I have. And he said, you know, Nate, are you sure you really want to take on that project? Why don't you just hire an expert to come and do that work? And I said, no, I can get this. And it was really a disaster from the very beginning. First thing I did is I turned off the water, right? That's what you do. Well, little did I know, when houses have been vacated as long as this house had been, when you go to turn off the water valve, those valves haven't been touched for a long time, right? And so I go to turn it off, and water's gushing everywhere. And so I'm trying to, turn things back on and turn it off and just hit it with a wrench, not knowing if maybe that'll work. And so we have buckets underneath, and my dad says, are you sure you don't want to call an expert? And I said, Dad, I got this, right? Pride welling up. So head out to Home Depot. We get the stuff that we needed to get to stop the leak. And so then I'm putting the hose together, right? And the hose from the dishwasher over to the, you know, whatever it's called underneath the sink, not even sure the terms. And so I get it in there and I go to put it together. And I'm about a foot short, right? And I'm like, oh, no, foot short. And my dad says, Nate, are you sure you don't want to hire an expert? I said, Dad, I got this. Head to Home Depot, get a longer hose, about a foot and a half longer. All good, get back. I said, I got this. And so a hose fits. I'm like, yes, it's perfect size. I go to put it together. And I realize I have two different size connections, right? And of course, I look over to my dad and he's ready to say something. I'm like, Dad, don't even say it. And so I sent Shannon to go to Home Depot because I wasn't going to show my face at that point. And so she goes and picks up the hoses and we get back and we finally get everything semi-working properly. I ended up having to call an expert to fix what was going on underneath the sink because it was still kind of leaking. And I think back to that story and I think, you know what? Often, the first thing we want to do is either fix it ourselves or call the expert to do the work. But really, there's a better solution. There's a longer-term solution than just calling the expert to do the work. See, what I didn't know is my neighbor next door was very skilled in you know, basically fixing anything. Now, I didn't get to know my neighbor yet, but he was the kind of guy that loves to get the call from the neighbor and come over and teach younger guys how to do this kind of stuff on their own. That's what I should have done. Because now to this day, I would be actually able to hook that up if I actually knew how to do it properly and I was trained. See, in the American church, I think a lot of times what we do is we're quick to say, okay, hey, we hire the expert to do the work of the ministry. Man, that's what we pay you for, Nate. You're the minister. You're supposed to do the work. That's why we hire other pastors, right? You guys do the work of the ministry. But friends, is that what Scripture says about the church, the role of the church and the pastors? Does the Bible say that it's only the pastors that are to do the work of disciple making? That's the pastors who are to do the work of sharing the gospel alone? That's the pastors who should do all the shepherding and the caring of the flock? What does Scripture say? Well, we want to look at that in a moment, but before I do that, let me read a quote by Francis Chan. He's a well-known author of a book called Multiply and several others. Here's what he said. Many in the church end up sidelined in a spectator mentality that delegates disciple-making to pastors and professionals, ministers and missionaries, but this is not the way it's supposed to be. Every disciple is a disciple maker. Now, where did Francis Chan get that? He got that from the Bible. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Here's what Paul says. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the leadership of the church, for what purpose? To do all the work? No. To equip. That's an important word. To equip his people for the work of the ministry. See, what does an equipper do? An equipper trains, an equipper coaches, prepares the people for the work of the ministry. Best illustration of this is in the military, right? The leadership in the military, their job is not to go and do all the work for everybody else in the military. Their job is to equip everybody, every soldier, to do the work, to outfit them individually and as a unit to serve to protect our country. They put them through boot camp and basic training to show them how to handle weaponry, battle tactics, how to survive in difficult situations, right? How to operate together as a unit, how to listen to their commander, right? And so in the same way in the military, God says in the church context, the staff, the leadership, the pastors, the teachers, the shepherds, the apostles, the prophets, the leadership of the church is called to equip. See, what you hire in your church pastors are not people to do the work of the ministry, but rather coaches and trainers. That is our job. And what is the end result? Well, Paul talks about this in Ephesians 4. He continues on and says that the result of the church is that the church, when operates in this way, that the church advances, it grows, it strengthens, it matures as every part does the work of the ministry. That's what God intended. So what are the implications of becoming an equipping church? Well, one of the implications is that our leadership here at Brandywine Valley really needs to spend their time equipping and empowering more than doing all the work of the ministry. Now, I'm thankful to be part of a church where we have so many people active in ministry in this church. It's really quite astounding. I'm not sure if you've been a part of other churches and have seen different ways of doing it, but I have, and I'll tell you, this church really has a congregation who steps up largely and does the work of the ministry, is involved in all kinds of ministry areas. And friends, we want to do that more and more, because if we're going to have that kind of sending effect, that kind of rippling effect, it's going to come because we're equipping the church to do that kind of work. It said, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, but teach a man to fish and you'll feed him for a lifetime. Friends, that's the same spiritual implication here. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men and women who will be able to teach and equip others to do it also. The job of the church staff and leaders is to equip others to do the work. So teachers should be training others to teach and to study the Bible. People with shepherding gifts should help other people to shepherd one another. Leaders in gifts of mercy should train other people how to have a mercy ministry in their context. People with the gifts of evangelism should be helping to train other people to evangelize in their context and share their faith. That way, one of our goals, every Christian at Brandywine will be able to share their faith story and the gospel basics. Well, how does that happen? It happens when people with gifts in evangelism help train us to do that. That's what God has called us to. So our leadership must spend their time equipping and empowering. Second implication is we must know and exercise our spiritual gifts as a church. You know, the Bible says this in Romans 12 and several other passages, that God has given his church, every believer, at least one spiritual gift, a gift, an endowment from the Holy Spirit to be used in the ministry, in the building up of the church, right? So that the whole church will be active in using its gifts for the betterment of the church. In addition, we all have experiences, we have talents, we have passions, skills, we have things that God has uniquely given us and designed us to use for his glory. And so the question should be, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Do you know what your talents are? Do you have a sense of how God might want to put all of that together to be used within his church, within his community? This is one area that we want to help develop us as a church in, so that as we're using our gifts, God can do what he has intended and helping us to become that kind of powerhouse, that rippling effect, that sending effect. Not only do we need to be an equipping church, but secondly, we must be a sending church. We must be a sending church. In another Great Commission, in Luke's version, in Acts 1:8, here's what Jesus says here. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, in your hometown, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as we trace through the book of Acts, which you guys did in the summer, you see that exact thing happening in the book of Acts, right? They start in their Jerusalem, but then the church goes out, it's sent out into Judea and Samaria, and then the church begins to go all throughout the Mediterranean and out throughout the world. And friends, that's the same kind of impulse that we should have in 2016 as a church. That here in the Brandywine Valley, that every disciple would be a disciple maker, and every church, every gospel preaching evangelical church should have a rippling effect, become a church planting, supporting, sending church here. That's what we want to do. And in doing so, we go out with the mission of Christ to demonstrate the gospel in power, to show how the gospel transforms lives, to show how and be a demonstration of the love and the grace, the reconciliation, the hope of the gospel, but not only to go and demonstrate it, but to declare it, to speak it, to testify of who God is and what he's done for us through Jesus Christ. So friends, what are the implications of becoming a sending church? Well, taking the ripple effect that we see in Acts 1:8, the implications for us as a church is that we need to be sent into our Jerusalem, into the relationships that each one of us is connected with. I remember one time Chuck Colson, the famous Christian author and speaker. He was the former president now I'm blanking on the name of it. Thank you. Prison Fellowship. Prison Fellowship, which was an amazing, enormous ministry to prisoners around the United States and the world. Chuck Colson, one of his last messages before he passed away, he was talking about how Christians can change a culture for Christ. And here's what he said. He said, if our culture is to be transformed, it will happen from the bottom up. Through ordinary believers over the backyard fence or around the barbecue grill. Isn't that interesting? This man spent his whole life on a large stage. And at the end of his life, he says, you know what's really going to make the impact? Individuals in their relationships. Friends, that's where it starts. That's our Jerusalem. You want to know where your Jerusalem is? It's in the relationships that God has put you in close proximity to. Your friends that you've made inroads with. Your friends on your sports team or in the club or in the gym or neighbors, coworkers, family members that you can be an ambassador of Christ in front of. Who has God put you in unique proximity to? And have you made inroads with them? Have you earned a right to share the gospel by serving them, by loving them? Have you shared the good news with them? I was talking to one guy recently who's converted to Christianity after years of being basically agnostic or atheist. And around 50 years old, maybe a little sooner, he came to Christ and he went to some of his coworkers and he began kind of sharing a little bit of what God has done in his life. And a few of his coworkers were like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian too. And he was like, wait a second, you're a Christian too? How come you never told me the good news? You've been a Christian all this time and you've been hiding this news from me? It's interesting to have perspective of somebody who comes to Christ a little later in life. He says, why haven't you shared? Friends, we have an opportunity between in those relationships that God has us rubbing shoulders with on a regular basis. Have we been faithful there? Yeah, I'm setting as one of my goals this spring and summer that I would begin building relationships right here at the Y. Where are we? Right that way in the Y. And build relationships with other men there, and in doing so, earn the right to be able to share the gospel with them. Invite them to church. If you want to go work out with me, let's go do it. Let's take that on together. I want you to hold me accountable to that. God has sent us into relationships. Who are the people that you're rubbing shoulders with? Secondly, we're sent not only in the relationships that we're in, but we're sent into our city. Yo, we here at the Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, we're coming from a lot of different places. We're coming, some of us, from Pennsylvania across the border. We're in Glen Mills or somewhere else. Some of us are coming from Newark or Hockessin. We're coming from different areas, right? And every area has need. Every area needs to hear the gospel. Every area needs transformation. But I'll tell you, there's no other place close to us that needs more transforming work, that has greater needs than right here in our backyard in the city of Wilmington. City of Wilmington just a few minutes away, has joblessness rates that eclipse anywhere else, poverty, violence, teen pregnancy, fatherlessness, gangs, racial tension, great despair, more than any other area around us. I was reading and studying for this message, Newsweek articles and other local newspaper articles, and just my heart broke for what we have here in our backyard. I thought, man, God, I know your heart breaks for these people right here in our backyard. Lord, would you break our hearts collectively? Would you show us a path forward of how we can minister right here in the city of Wilmington? How you want to use us? You know, our church has been blessed with resources, people resources, financial resources. We have connections. We have skills and assets and education. But friends, we've been blessed to be a blessing. And so we are already doing many things in Wilmington. We're doing things with Sunday Breakfast Mission and Urban Promise and others. But friends, I think we can do so much more. God can use this church over the years to make a huge impact. I believe he wants to do that with this church in the city of Wilmington. Let's begin praying toward what kind of impact God could use this church in the city of Wilmington. Not only do we be sent into our relationships, our city, but thirdly, we should be sent into our world. You know, we have a strong legacy as a church of supporting and sending missionaries. We will be continuing this legacy. You know, we have currently 29 missionaries and missionary families in the States and abroad that we serve, in addition to 11 who are retired that we continue to support and honor. We have a missions committee. Brett Dorsch is the chairman of that committee, and they're doing great work in helping this church to continue to be a sending church, both locally and around the world. They have a great passion for that. We have ministries like Global Media Outreach, and Patty Harris and a team of dozen people or so use technology to communicate with Christians in other countries who need to be encouraged and taught and discipled in contexts where the gospel and the church is less established, and wonderful ministry that they're involved in. We have missions trips going out with the youth group. We have one headed out to Ukraine in June. Really excited about that. They're going to be working with Valak, who's, if you're familiar with Valak, Valak came to this church as a youth himself, as an intern, and he was taught here, he was sent back, and now he's a pastor over in the Ukraine, and we've been supporting Valak and the church for quite some time. In fact, he'll be coming over, and some of his family member will be coming over for 2 weeks. And we're going to have him speak during Missions Week here, April 3rd and 10th. So you're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be an awesome opportunity to celebrate what's God doing in the Ukraine. How can he encourage us as a church as well? And we want to continue sending trips, sending at least 2 adult trips per year with global partners. We want to continue being a sending church, not just here in our own city, but around the world as God is calling us to. Friends, we need to be a sending church. And thirdly and lastly, if any effect is going to happen, if we have any chance of being a powerhouse in the Brandywine Valley, if God would use us in that way, thirdly, we must be a Spirit-empowered church. We must be a Spirit-empowered church. Notice in Acts 1:8, which we just read, the disciples didn't begin doing the work of evangelism and discipleship. They didn't begin being a powerhouse until what happened? They received the power of the Holy Spirit. See, friends, before that, these men and women were quite cowardly. They were huddled together in fear. They weren't sure about their next step, but the Holy Spirit empowered them, and they became effective. See, the Holy Spirit is the agent of empowerment for effective ministry and evangelism in the world. The Spirit gives us courage and love and discipline that overrides our fears. The Holy Spirit is the one who is our advocate and our helper in the time of need. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts the world of sin and a need for a Savior. He does a lot of the legwork for us in ministry. And the Spirit gives us wisdom of what to say. The Spirit guides us into all truth. So what are the implications of being a Spirit-empowered church? Well, first of all, we need to have greater emphasis on understanding the ministry and the leading of the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit work in the church? What about our individual lives? What role does He have in equipping us and speaking to us and encouraging us, leading us in our lives? We need to talk more about that as a church, and we will. Second implication is a greater emphasis on prayer. Greater emphasis on prayer, that the Holy Spirit would give us courage, that He'd give us opportunities to share our faith, that we would be praying for wisdom, that we'd be praying for the lost, the broken, that we'd be praying for personal renewal and renewal in our church, renewal in our city, in our country. The church moves forward on our knees. We need to be a praying kind of church. You know, every Sunday night we pray. There's a group of people that pray here at 6 o'clock on Sundays. I want to encourage you, make it out there. Come pray with those who are praying, interceding on behalf of each other, praying for the church at large, praying for the needs in this community. In fact, today we're going to be having a prayer time at 2 o'clock from 2 to 3. We've invited anybody that's involved in worship, but I want to extend that to anyone here at the church. You want to come pray with us? Come pray for an hour. We're going to be lifting up requests right here in the sanctuary from 2 to 3 o'clock. I want to invite you. Come out today to pray. And we're also going to be doing a series in March on prayer, talking about how do we be a praying church? How has God called us to be a praying church together? So I'm looking forward to the things that God has for us as we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be an equipping church, friends. We need to be a sending church, friends. If any of that's going to happen, if we're going to be a powerhouse, we need to be a Spirit-empowered church here in the Brandywine Valley. Yeah, I've heard it said, in closing, you know, people have said, you know, Nate, if God wants to save people, now, God can do that. He can kind of do it on His own. He doesn't need us. If He wants to save people in Wilmington, He can do that. If He wants to save people around the world, He can do that. Friends, that's true. But He's chosen to use us. Friends, we are His plan A. And there's no plan B. Jesus made that very clear, that the power of the gospel is going to be ministered through this local church. So friends, if the church is, and if our community around us, if our world is going to have any hope, it's going to be because the church is active in being a sender around the world. Friends, that's the kind of church we want to be. As we're headed as over the years, being a lighthouse, a greenhouse, a powerhouse, you know, some of the things that we're talking about here, we are already doing as a church, and we need to do more and more of it. Some things are going to be new over the years. Some things are going to take time and effort, are going to come with risk. And I just want to encourage us as a church, let's move forward together. Let's move forward in conjunction with the Holy Spirit working through us to be the kind of impact that God is calling us to be. Is this the kind of church you want to be a part of? I want to ask you, how are you going to meaningfully engage in the mission of the church? You've been here in the last 3 weeks in these messages. Start asking the question, God, how do you want me to personally engage? What is my personal next step? I believe God is going to show that to you. Next week, we're going to start a new series. We're going to be back in a book of the Bible. We're going to be going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's a short book. It's a beautiful, encouraging book. And we're going to be looking at what does a healthy church focused on the mission look like. And so I hope you will come and be encouraged by that. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would cause this church, built on those who have come before us over the decades, Lord, we stand on their shoulders to carry on the mission of this church. Lord, to introduce people to Jesus Christ and help them come to be discipled, to be more like Christ. Lord, that's what we want to be about as a church. Lord, would you help us to do that? Would you help us to be an equipping church, a sending church? Lord, would you empower us by your Spirit? Lord, we recognize in our frailty that we can do nothing apart from you, Lord. I can preach until I'm blue in my face, Lord, but if your Holy Spirit isn't empowering us, Lord, nothing will happen. We are fully dependent on you. So, Lord, would you do the work? Lord, put that seed, that desire in our heart to be that kind of impacting church. And Lord, now as we take up this offering, Lord, in the same way that we say we personally and as a church want to be that kind of sending and equipping church, Lord, would you use these funds to be sent, Lord, to take care of the needs here in our church and the missions around the world that we support? So, Lord, we pray that we be generous people as we give. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.